Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is a gardening show where we take your gardening questions and your text messages, and we answer all of your questions about gardening here in Florida. It can be anywhere. We love having all of our out-of-state listeners listening in. This is going to be a wonderful show. We've got a great interview coming up for you on the garden trends for 2024. We can jump on it and find out what's going to be happening. I'm looking forward to that. And let's see here. Let's go ahead, Lizzie, and let John Denver. We're going to do the dirty word of the day, which is so appropriate for October.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is witch's broom. A witch's broom is an unusually dense and compact cluster of twigs and very small stunted foliage formed on a woody plant. The mass of shoots comes from a common point, giving the growth a broom-like appearance. Witch's brooms can be caused by various sources, including mites, viruses, fungi, mistletoe, and insects and nematodes. Knowing the type of host plant can help you determine the cause of the witch's broom. Witch's brooms can also be caused by a mutant broom, a genetic mutation, which is particularly important commercially because these new genetic makeup, these new plants can lead to new plant cultivars. Herbicide damage is also a common cause of witch's broom. Roundup is not one of the chemicals that creates the damage, but when other chemicals are used and combined with the glyphosate, the longer-lasting control and use for edging landscape beds, it can affect the root system. If it's used on a consistent basis, the chemicals seep into the ground and are absorbed by the roots. And although at first glance it may seem like the herbicide is being correctly applied, since there's many products are labeled for use in graveled areas, driveways, and sidewalks, the labels also states that they should not be applied within the root zone of desirable plants. I see this often. I saw a gardenia with witch's broom a few months ago, and they had perfect edging all the way around, dirt all the way around the bottom of the plant. But the landscaper, the lawn mow and blow guys, they were just using the herbicide to edge, and it was affecting the root system. So it's important to understand when you're looking at your plants, notice if there's any kind of malforming leaves and if there are some stunted growth on your plant, then that's witch's broom and you have to figure out why you have it. So the dirty word of the day is witch's broom. And Lizzie, that's up on our betterlawns.com website along with all the other dirty words of the day.
That is right. Definitely. You can go back and listen to our podcast there too. Just, go to WFLAOrlando.com and search Better Lawns and Gardens.
That's right. And so we have 1-888-455-2967, but we want you to hold the calls until after, till the bottom of the hour. And then that way we can get the interview in, and you don't have to be on hold a long time. And so Linda in Zone 8B, she says that she's planting celery seeds, and should she plant them in a soil that has fertilizer added to it? And, Linda, I think that's a little too rich for starting seeds. You want to use a light, friable, light, airy seed mixture or soil mixture that will allow the seed to germinate and produce good roots. If it stays too wet or it has fertilizer in there, it takes a chance of hurting the seed. So I would go ahead and use a seed starting product And I know there's plenty out there on the shelf, and that'll give your celery seeds the best chance to survive. And then Angie in Tallahassee, she says, do you know where I can buy a Barbados cherry? And I mentioned this in the last hour, and Barbados cherries are lovely native fruit trees for Florida. They grow in they're tropical plants, so they're growing in the South Florida area, the Caribbean area, Virgin Islands they grow. And so, Angie, Zone 8B, which is where you are, may be a little too cold for them. But if you find them, you can grow it in a container and then just bring it inside or put it in your garage during the wintertime if you get those really devastating low temperatures. So it's Barbados cherry, and that is a Malpighia glabra. So you can check online, just Google Barbados cherry, and there are a lot of southern nurseries that will send them to you, and you can just grow it into a container. So we're doing that. So the Garden Media Group is an award-winning public relations and marketing communications firm, very just a wonderful, prestigious company, and it has renowned clients such as Costa Farms, Davy Tree Company, Encore Azaleas and Garden Know-How, and Park Seed. And so it has worldwide connections to understanding evolving cultural gardening trends. So coming up, Katie Dubow is the president of Garden Media Group. She's going to be with us from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is a great day. We're having beautiful weather. It's going to be dry and lower humidity, and it is a great time to learn about what's coming up in 2024. With us right now is Katie Dubow, and she is the president of the award-winning The Garden Media Group, and they are connected all over the world to some of the most major gardening industry corporations and companies. Good morning, Katie. How are you this morning?
I am great, Teresa. How are you?
I am good. I hear you're coming down to Florida this week.
Oh, I am. And, you know, we have had a little bit of a chilly fall so far up here in Pennsylvania. So I'm looking forward to some steamy fall temperatures.
That's great. And I know you're going to have a great time. So Katie, your award-winning company was started by your mother, the beautiful Susie McCoy. And she is just a dynamo. And you have, you're basically an all-woman staff. You know, kudos to James for, hanging in there.
Yeah, we are. And that was something that I've heard now that I've entered the industry about my mom is that she would enter a room head to toe pink. She wrote with a pink pen. It was her signature color, usually in a room full of men. And so she really blazed the trail for women in our industry. And I am grateful for it. And I know a lot of other women have told me they are as well.
She's amazing. And so now with all of you, you've got Stacy and Tracy and Peggy Ann, Courtney and Becky. Hi, Becky. And Jennifer and Aubrey and Bridget and Carrie and James. How do you as a team determine what gardening trends are evolving?
I love that. And we're here to talk about our 2024 trends, but they have officially wrapped. They launched last month. So once those wrap, we start working on the next year. And really determining trends for us, this was our 22nd report. So we've been doing it a long time, an annual report. We've been doing it for 22 years. And really what we find that it's about spotting patterns in data. And so we all are starting to collect things that we're seeing in the news now. For example, this year in 2022, I saw a lot of press about reducing your grassy area and adding a small pocket meadow. You know, no one wants to get rid of their lawn entirely. But a pocket meadow. And we saw so much. All of us got together and said, wow, is this a trend or is this happening right now? Is this something that's peaked and then will fall? So it's really not just about spotting the trends and the data and patterns, but then using that information. We use a lot of different sources to come up with. We look at Google Trends. We have a website called Sprout Social that we look at actual data, what people are talking about on the internet, to track those patterns. And we keep monitoring it, Teresa, because things can change. Like the Pocket Meadow movement, you know, it kind of came and went pretty quickly. Not that, you know, I'm a huge fan of meadows. Not that they are out, but it kind of came and went pretty quickly. So we just try to keep our eye on things.
I know, and that's such a good point, is that it can be just a blip on the screen, but then others take longer and set, you know, grow roots and make a real cultural change. And so what is the theme for 2024 in Garden Trends?
Yeah, so each year we have an overarching theme that ties everything together. And this year our theme is called eco-optimism. And it's interesting because it went from being inside that pocket meadow trend that I was talking about, and then it grew into its own trend, and then it grew into our overarching theme of the whole report. So as we kept researching it, we realized this is a big deal. The idea that millions of people are suffering from what we call eco-anxiety, this paralyzing fear, especially young people, Teresa, that they can't do anything. They've been handed, you know, this kind of terrible climate situation, and there's nothing they can do about it. So when we're paralyzed by fear, we don't do anything. So it's this kind of like cycle of what will change happen. And so it is up to us as a horticulture industry, as people who love plants, who love getting their hands in the soil, it's up to us to spread eco-optimism. And that is just, there are some things in the report you can do, but sharing positive climate news. For example, there was a lion that they thought was once extinct in Chad that has been spotted for the first time. We are setting records for solar and wind and energy use. There's a lot of positive things that are happening out there. But of course, you know, sensational news media wants to share some negative news. So I think it's really up to us as plant lovers to help especially young people understand that they can make a change, and sometimes it just starts in their own yard.
That's wonderful. I so agree with you. And so tell us about each of the different categories that you've outlined in your report. Touch real quickly on each one, and then we'll talk about a couple others.
Okay. So we have 7 trends this year. It varies each year. We don't try to get to a certain number, but we each research and then throw that spaghetti at the wall. And so this year, the first trend that we're talking about is called Zoom Out. And it's back to that generation that we were talking about who feels that eco-anxiety the most, Generation Z. And we call them Zoomers. You know, it's kind of a play on boomers.
Yeah.
The bookend generations right now who are, you know, out there as consumers, and they have an estimated spending power of over $300 billion.
Wow.
But the cool thing about this generation is that they are willing to pay a little bit more for products that tell a story. So makers, you know, people who are making things with their hands or sustainable products, they're willing to wait a little longer for them because they grew up their whole career, likely in a pandemic era, and they work from home. So they really want to make their oasis at home very special, including outdoors, their garden outside. So we're looking at them as our next real big gardeners.
So tell us about hortofuturism.
Yeah, so you said hi to Becky. Becky is actually in Japan as we speak, and she is touring this fantastic exhibit called Team Lab. It's in our report. You should look it up. It's an amazing immersive exhibit that you walk through in 6 inches of water, Teresa, barefoot. It's crazy, but it's totally horticulture. You're surrounded by flowers and mirrors. Live orchids are hanging from the ceiling. And so when we saw something like that, you know, we certainly look to the east for a lot of our trends. We think, okay, this idea of the future is usually cold and metal and, you know, kind of the end of the world when we think of the future. But in reality, it's filled with flowers. And so we're really challenging, because pop culture is reflective of that, the future plus flowers, we want our industry to think about that as well. What does the future look like? It's not dark. It's really bright and fun and floral.
That's wonderful. So now, speaking of the dark, one of my favorite categories, I love this one. Very appropriate right now. What is the next category?
Yes, this is actually my favorite too. We call it Delight in the Dark. And oddly, it started with a conversation I was having with a woman who's the director of horticulture at the Oakland Cemetery in Atlanta. Abra Lee is her name. And she was telling me about the record-breaking numbers that their cemetery is getting. So I chatted with Greg Tepper here in Philadelphia at our famous Laurel Hill Cemetery. He said the same. And I thought, wow, if our cemeteries are getting record visitors, what does that mean? And so as we kind of pushed that trend through our garden media funnel, we realized that it is just this obsession with this kind of darkness. It's our relationship with the occult is getting serious. And with that comes our obsession with dark foliage. So as we push it, you know, through our societal funnel into how it affects plants, people are really into kind of that goth gardening, Victorian era gardens. Halloween gardens are very of the moment, but it's all year round that people are really into kind of this moody feeling.
I'm so glad you said visitors. You said that the cemeteries were getting record numbers, and I'm just going, okay. But you said visitors, and I love to visit cemeteries myself. So that is, and they're called taphophiles, taphophiles, T-A-P-H-O-P-H-I-L-E-S. I am one, and I love to visit them. So, Katie, we're coming up on a hard break. I'd like to go through all the rest of them. Can you stay over for another few minutes?
I'd love to.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. So speak to insects real quick.
Okay. So we always love to talk about native plants, pollinators, but they're no longer really a trend. We know that they're here to stay. So what we saw this year was a rise in real live bug decor. So bugs that look, it's not just the honey nut Cheerios, you know, cartoony bees. We have moths and beetles and intricate designs out there on rugs and mugs and even in children's nurseries. So really cool that we're seeing the appreciation of bugs, but a little bit more realistic, which we hope will translate to people not being afraid of them outdoors as well.
I think that's great. Now, for apartments and for the younger generation, we're seeing more indoor plant appreciation. What's your next category dealing with?
Yeah, and this is one of our big houseplant or indoor trends called hanging in there, and it's a big designer trend. You'll see this a lot if you follow any designers on Instagram. The idea of hanging plants. You know, they can be coming up, growing up, or growing down over the balcony, but it is a way for people really to get more plants in their house. Let's be real. I maybe invented this one so I could maximize my space. But it's also because people are living just in smaller spaces, and they want to surround themselves with nature. So we're seeing them grow plants in different ways.
That's great. And, it's one of the design for containers is the spillers. And so that just fits in. And it gives our containers dimension. So I love that. So Katie, real quick, before the end of the break, give us your website where people can download this. And then I'm going to have you stay on, and we're going to talk about the final two and the color of the year.
Yeah, gardenmediagroup.com/trends is where you can find this one and the past 21 reports.
That's wonderful, Katie. So we're going to hang on. You're listening to Katie Dubow. She is president of the Garden Media Group, and that's thegardenmediagroup.com. And you can go onto her website and download the report. It is free, and it just is really exciting. I loved the way the reports are. They're just categorized, and you're just going to see the trends. And Katie, you've been really on spot with some of these your prognostications. So, tell us a few of them real quick.
We started talking about native plants back in 2006. We talked about outdoor living. We talked about the rise of vegetable gardening, especially with young men. So there's a lot that we have predicted. There's a great blog on our website about that. We have missed a few, though, Teresa. We missed fairy gardening.
Well, we'll forgive you for that one. We'll be right back with Better Lawns and Garden, Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. This is Better Lawns and Gardens. If it's Saturday morning, this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we are coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We are discussing with the dynamic, multi-generational dynamic dynasty, Katie Dubow. She is with the Garden Media Group. She is the president, and she has come out with her Garden Trends 2024. And so, Katie, thank you for staying over. I just, I love all these different categories and seeing what's in the future to come to our garden centers and garden nurseries around the country. Yeah. And so, you have another one which involves wildlife. How does that going to be, addressed in 2024?
Yeah, so we call this one Nature Calls, and it's really about community. And it was actually spotted, Teresa, at the Chelsea Flower Show, which is on my bucket list. I don't know if you've ever been.
We just took a group there this year, and it was incredible. And we saw, it was just amazing. And we had such a fun time, and we had such great people going on the tour. So, yes.
I don't know how I did that. I want in on that next tour.
You do. You have to come with me one time.
So what you probably noticed was a lot of, number one, dead wood in the gardens. And it was really interesting. What I read was a lot of these fallen trees, but also community gardens focused on sustainability. And that was one of the trends we picked up from what we read about Chelsea. And it's people who are really planting and growing with saving the planet in mind. And one of the things that came up over and over again was offsetting their carbon usage. And that was something that I haven't heard about in a while, but really growing a garden, not just to, you know, do great things for your neighbors and for yourself and for the wildlife, but because you maybe drive to work or your family has two cars or, you know, whatever it is, and you want to offset that carbon usage.
I think that's great. And we did see the dead wood and the trees, the snags that we call, yeah. You know, we call them in Chelsea. And I thought it was fascinating because I'm looking at Florida. And I'm saying, yeah. You know, we do this in Florida, and so it was quite exciting. And so, I'll send you the photos I took from Chelsea, that would be great. And so now you're coming out with the color of the year. Tell us what it is.
Yes, so our big anticipated one, and so we do a lot of research on the color, and one of the things we saw over and over again was green, you know, colors in nature, and green, 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 green. But of course, being a horticulture green industry firm, we had to narrow in on which green, and especially, you know, talking back to our horti futurism trend, we decided that cyber lime was going to be the color. And if you're, you know, not near a computer, it's kind of like that highlighter yellow, that it's that bright neon green that is very eye-catching, very forward-thinking, punchy, but also so much and so many plants found in nature. So it's not just the flowers, like some of our favorites, Bloomables, Wedding Gown, Hydrangea, but also, which I know one of your favorites, the Lemon Lime Mandina from Southern Living Plants. So you could have both flowers that are this bright lime, foliage that's this bright lime, and house plants. This is one of the big trends we're going to be seeing indoors as well that we found from our friends at Costa Farms. They'll have a new plant coming out called the Chameleon ZZ plant that is bright yellow.
Oh,
limey.
My goodness. I am dying here, Katie. That sounds amazing. And I know Costa Farms does things so well. And so yes. I can't even, a ZZ plant that is the cyber lime. Wow. Oh, that is just very cool. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So sign me up for one of those. That'll be great. And so, yes, I love Southern Living Nandinas. And Southern Living Nandinas, the lemon lime, I use it a lot. And it is one of the Nandinas that's no longer invasive, so they're sterile. Yeah. But what other plants can add zing to our garden?
Well, I love also from Southern Living is Sunshine Ligustrum. I think that is a really fun one. It's also a bright, fun, you know, foliage color. And so that's, you know, I also up here, Japanese forest grass is one of my favorites.
Yes.
For me, that lime color in the shade is something that really brightens up your shade areas too. And, you know, heucheras, I think those are the things that we really need to lean into, is looking at our shade plans and adding that color to our shade areas.
That's a great complementary color in the shade. So, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. So, Katie, you address all the different trends in your Garden Trends Report for 2024. And so tell us again where people can get it, and it is free.
It is free, yes. We love seeing all the downloads come in and seeing people's comments. And please go to our Facebook page or at Garden Media to tell us what you think. Or right on Teresa's Better Lawns and Gardens page. You can tell us there. You can find us at gardenmediagroup.com/trends, which is where you can find this year's report and all the past reports as well.
Thank you so much, Katie. I so enjoy talking with you, and I'm sorry I'm going to miss you this time down south, but have a great time. I know you will, and you'll have great weather for it.
Thank you.
All right, give your mom a hug for me. Thank you so much. That's Katie Dubow, and she is the president of the Garden Media Group, a woman-owned corporation, and they just rock.
Yes, they do.
They work hard, and I love mixing with them, and we can just geek out at plants when we're together. Everybody loves the plants when we get together, so that's cool. What did you think of the garden trends?
Oh, I just love the information, and I love being surprised, and just I'm so excited about it.
It is, and I mean, I think that's also true. You know, I love the incorporation of insects into, you know, it came it started off as, okay, we should do more for insects and pollinators, and now it's in our culture, it's in our furniture, it's in our art, it's in our toys, and I love it. So they are usually very spot on, and you can start looking for these plants. And again, you can go onto our Facebook page, Southern Living. You can get a hold of them at southernliving.com and check out all the new plants that you see. The Sunshine Ligustrums is great, and we love them. So thank you. Big thank you to Katie Dubow with the Garden Media Group. And, you know, we'll do that. Now it's time for your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680. We don't have time, Jim and Peter. We're going to get to you as soon as we get off of our break. But you can also text to 23680. Anybody interested in a Barbados cherry, then Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland has them. They have beautiful little pink flowers that turn into delicious berries or cherries. And they are a native plant, so it's a good thing for your landscape. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you'd like to give us a gardening call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text at 23680.
Hey, Teresa, you know, we have it coming up this afternoon on WFLA Orlando.
What?
The Gator Game.
Go Gators!
That's right. You can listen on the free iHeartRadio app. Just download it. Search WFLAOrlando.com. And if you normally listen to it, or if you're brand new to it, set your location for your area, because sometimes it will reset. It reset mine 2 weekends ago, and it kept saying, you are not in that area, so you can't listen to the Gator Game. Well, that's not exactly what it said. However, that was a synopsis it gave me, so I had to go back into my app, reset my location, love technology, and then the Gator Game kicked right back on. So you can catch that
great
this afternoon.
You know, Tony has gotten that notice a couple of times, you're not in the right area, and all he needed to do then was to reset it.
You know what it is?
What?
We're world travelers. I'm kidding.
We go from Umatilla to where, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right. We have a caller, Peter, on the line.
Good morning, Peter. Thank you for calling in. How can I help you?
Well, my question is about the milkweed for butterflies. I planted the seed, and they came up great. They flowered. The butterflies loved them. But now they're nothing but 4-foot-tall stalks,
uh-huh.
no leaves. And I'm wondering if I'm supposed to prune them back or I'm just going to let them grow naturally.
Okay. Well, you can prune them back. There's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of, pollinator plants out there for them. And the milkweed will reproduce more new leaves. So it's just a personal preference for you, Peter. You can do it. And if you want to try and do a little experiment, cut some of them back and leave some and see which one you like best, okay?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No, thank you for being concerned. I appreciate that. Let's go to Jim in Winter Park. Good morning, Jim. How can I help you?
Good morning. I have a cocktail tree that's probably got greening, and okay. It's down to just the lemons is all that's left.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about the size of an egg. Does greening get in the tree, like, inside, or could I cut this tree back, severely cut it back, and take care of the new growth?
No, it's really sad, Jim, and that's what's devastated the whole citrus industry for the last, 7-8 years, is that once the tree has gotten citrus greening, it is systemic, and it's all throughout the whole tree, and it'll eventually all die.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No, thank you. I'm sorry. We do have, the ability to, what I would suggest is that we just start thinking of citrus trees as, a short-term tree.
Okay.
Not something that's going to last 30, 40, 50 years like they used to in the groves. The trees lasted a long time. With citrus greening, we're seeing trees last between, 5 to 6 years. And then, what you can do is just throw it away, dispose of it, and then, just buy a new one. And so lemons and limes and grapefruit are a little bit more resistant to the citrus greening, so that's good. Cocktail trees, though, have a habit of dying, piecemeal. So if you've got three different types of fruit on it, you get one, one starts to decline, and it will die back to the graft. And then the other, different variety of fruit will die back to the graft. And so, cocktail trees aren't really the best choice to grow in your landscape. They're a little bit more difficult. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And so this is October. This is the time. No, there's no longer a fertilizer ban out there. So this is a time to go ahead and fertilize your fruit trees, fertilize your palm trees, and this gives it enough time before we hit that major stressful time of freezing, where it's 80 degrees one day and 25 to 30 degrees the next day, and that cold front comes through very fast, and the trees don't have time to acclimate. And if you do want to acclimate your fruit trees, you're going to want to go back and listen to the first hour of our show on our podcast, and Dana Vendrick gives you the information you need, what kind of minerals and nutrients you need to give your fruit trees so that they can withstand a winter freeze. But it's also the time to go ahead and take care of the weeds that have been prevalent in your yard, and so you can use an herbicide, and that's what we recommend. Just using an herbicide alone, make sure you diagnose, you identify the weed that you are trying to kill, because if it is a broadleaf weed, it's going to use a different type of herbicide, and if it is a sedge type of weed, it's going to use a different herbicide. So you cannot use, one will not work on the other. And so you want to make sure you identify the weed. You can do that by sending me a photograph through email or through the website betterlawns.com, and I can identify it for you. Or you could take it to your local county master gardener clinic, and they can identify it for you. Once you know what you have, then you can go about eradicating it. And if you have a really prevalent weed problem in your yard, it may take 2 or 3 seasons. Because once you get rid of the weed, then the seeds for the following year, they will come back. So you're going to want to use pre-emergence. And it may be a 1-year, 2-year process of getting rid where your weeds are no longer germinating. And that is a very, it's a simple process, but you've got to stay on top of it. And that's important. So this is the time of the year to go ahead and use an herbicide. The temperatures are a little bit cooler. The weeds are a little bit, you know, they're more susceptible because they've been so stressed growing through the summertime. And it's a good time to go ahead and fertilize your lawn too as well. The thicker and the stronger your turf is, the less weed issue you will have. And so your best friend is not to, or the best management practice is best friend. Your best management practice is to make sure that you are not overdoing anything, which means you don't want to over-fertilize. You don't want to over-water. Watering is the number one problem that I see in landscapes, whether you're mowing a garden area, a garden bed, and you're using plants that can handle drought conditions, that can handle stress, and they thrive in sandy soils. When you overwater them, they can rot and die out. And we see a lot of that with the summer rains and then people watering on top of that. You want to make sure that your rain shutoff device is working. And we're going into coming up in November, we're going to be going back to once a week watering. Now, you can literally water once a week all year round. There's no reason for an established lawn to need two times a week watering. And sometimes we create that need by overwatering. And when you water often, you create a short root system. And that short root system is going to need to be watered more often. If you apply chemicals to your landscape, you're going to need more water. And so definitely find out what they are spraying in your yard. And, you know, you might not need to have it. You know, that for insects, spraying on a monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly basis is not necessary if you do not have an insect problem. There's really no preventative out there. When they apply a insecticide, pest control, the insect has to come through there in the next few weeks, and it's something that it can leach out very quickly, and you don't, and if there's no pest, there's no reason to use it. And the pesticides kill the beneficial insects. So we need to have a balance in the landscape. You want to have a little few pest issues to bring in the predators and the beneficial bugs. But if you're spraying chemicals all the time, as far as pesticides and pesticides and fertilizers, you can increase the need, or you can increase the susceptibility to getting more insects. The more you fertilize your lawn with nitrogen, the more chinch bug problems you're going to have. It's just that simple. And so you want to make sure that you're balanced, that you have, you're putting down the appropriate amount. Follow the label. The label is the law. And so, Lizzie, we have everything up on our betterlawns.com website.
Yes, it is.
And they can hear podcasts of the show whenever they want. Go back and listen to it. And if you are on Facebook, we'd love for you to go to the Facebook page and like us and give us 5 stars. That will be great. Big thank you to Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist on 33 West Michigan Street in DeLand, and to Katie Dubow with the Garden Media Group and her Garden Trends 2024. I always love hearing that. It's always fun to see what we'll be seeing in the nurseries and garden centers across the country and world. Thank you to everyone who shares their gardening questions, whether you call, text, or email. We appreciate you being part of our lives. You're really important to us, and we so appreciate you being out there. Lizzie, thank you for a great show.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to our listeners. You are the best listeners out there. You guys fill us with lots of information and good questions, and you always end up, even if you derail us, not that I don't ever derail the show, but you guys give us something to talk about, so thank you for that.
We do. We love doing that, and you're always welcome to send your gardening pictures and photographs through betterlawns.com. You can find out what to do this month of October on betterlawns.com. Just check it out. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of organic mosquito bits and dunks and organic year-round oil spray, I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Make sure you guys go to our website, WFLAOrlando.com, because we give away really cool stuff on that website. So check us out, WFLAOrlando.com.